B-Pod Studios.
These guys are regulars on Radio Row.
They are spectacular.
Presented by Cambridge Savings Bank on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati, day three from Super Bowl 53 here in Atlanta, Georgia. This hour of the program is brought to you by your New England Buick dealers, Murray and Maz alongside. How you guys doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm average.
I'm fresh as a daisy.
Average. Playing hurt. Playing a little hurt. Let me get right into a question that we brought up yesterday and we discussed yesterday. Is it okay if they lose this game? Murray, let me start with you. Is it okay if the Pats lose this game? Are you okay with it as a Patriots fan?
I am, yes. Yeah. Because we've reached a point, to me, this is all gravy. For them to get to the AFC Championship, I had a low bar. That was gravy. For them to win that game in Kansas City, I'm good. Like, it would still hurt, but yeah. No, this season's a success to me at this point.
Does that piss you off, Miss?
A little bit, and I'll tell you why. Because, look, I think overall, if you look at it in the aggregate, and you say, well, all through the year we had our doubts. And so now they're in the Super Bowl again, and most of us didn't pick them to be back here, given the history of other teams, given what typically they have done when they have the kind of regular season that they had, et cetera, et cetera. So fine. But now that they're here, and it feels like they've cleared the biggest hurdles already, what, like they go out and lose and we're all good with it? Like, I look at that and I say, I don't get that. The standards for the Patriots are different. And so I go back to the beginning of the postseason. And I say, going into the San Diego game, a lot of people picked the Chargers because we didn't know what the Patriots were. Exactly. They were inconsistent during the course of the year, and so it was difficult to predict what team was going to show up. But then they showed up, and we said, well, fine, they were home. That's consistent with who they were at home. But now they have to go on the road to Kansas City, and just about all of us, or most of us, thought that going into Kansas City, the odds were with the Chiefs. And they won that game. So now they get past the hardest game we thought they were going to have on their schedule. They get to the Super Bowl. They're playing with a level of consistency. And we look at it and say, oh, it's gravy. No big deal. It's okay if they lose. So even though in theory this game should be, quote unquote, easier than the Chiefs game in Kansas City, now it's okay. I don't get that. Well, you want to tell me in the aggregate, oh, no, but like, if you're in the game, you got to win it. There's a big difference there.
What if the Rams are a better team and they play like it? What if the Rams are a better team? And they might be, right? They might be.
I mean, considering all the money that they spent and the trades that they've made, yeah.
I'm just telling you. I mean, even wire to wire, the best team in football, you know, among the two or three best teams in football all season long. So it's possible they're better, okay? It's possible. I think it's close, but it's possible they're better. What if they're better and they do, and the Rams play well and you lose to a better team? And really, by all rights, this wasn't, you know, I mean, I still don't feel like it's their year. I mean, it's stupid. Here we're at the Super Bowl. But, you know, it really didn't feel like this could be their year until the last couple weeks.
And that's, like that. And that's why I'm trying to be consistent, because it never really did until these last couple of weeks. What's the bigger sample size the whole season? As late as December, they lost two games in terrible fashion. Like, it just didn't feel that way. Okay, they've changed the narrative, and they look like a completely different team. But, again, my expectations were so minimal, especially even by mid-December, that they're here, I'm good. Yes, I want them to win it, obviously. But if they don't, I'm not going to be heartbroken like I was last year.
I'm just telling you that I think there comes a point where you have to reassess and reevaluate what they are and what the realistic expectation is. So maybe they're now achieving the potential, a greater potential than we thought they could get to, and they have a chance to win the thing. I just think when you look at ultimately how we're going to look back on this game, the potential storyline is enormously different.
Well,
on the one hand, you look at it and say, the Patriots lost consecutive Super Bowls? The Patriots.
And then go 5-4 in Super Bowls. Like
right.
That.
They're right there with Denver and the Vikings and the Bills. They're in the
are
same.
Are they? Are they?
I'm just telling
are
you.
They,
the,
are they?
I'm just telling
are they,
you.
Maz?
I'm telling you they will have been one of four teams to have lost consecutive Super Bowls.
Right. And that's like saying Jack Nicklaus finished second in majors 18 times a record.
Okay, so but
I think that's a good record. So but this is the issue. The 5-4 is going to that ain't going to taste good. 5-4 ain't going to taste good in the Super Bowl. But be so, stupid for people to lump him in with the Vikings and the Bills.
No, no, but that's not my point. My point is that those are teams that have – there is a historical distinction that goes along with losing consecutive Super Bowls. And whether you like it or not, you're in the group with those teams. That's all. I'm not telling you that the Bills going to four in a row and losing them all is makes the Patriots the Bills. That's not what I mean. I'm just telling you that the whole thing of it takes a lot to come off a Super Bowl loss and get back there. So is the goal to get back there and lose again?
No, of course not.
But so the Patriots can't lose?
To me.
A little bit.
Yeah, to me.
A little bit.
I know you hate that.
But I mean,
I don't believe in that.
Let's see how it plays out. If they lose in some heinous fashion, right? If they lose in some heinous fashion, then we can say, you know, bad game plan. They blew a big lead. You know, Meathead misses a kick. What I mean, look, let's see what happens. But I said last night, I said yesterday, there's a path here to lose, and it really, what are you going to do? The Rams might be better. The Chiefs might be better. I mean, you know, they might be, and you won that one. You pull that one out. So what, you pull every game out of your ass?
Yeah, I just think there's got to be a consequence for it. Like, when I say a consequence.
Oh, no, there'll be consequences here, man.
Yeah.
We'll hold them accountable.
Yeah, I don't believe in the whole playing with the house money thing, and I can damn well assure you that Belichick and Brady don't. Like, so Belichick and Brady are looking at this going, no big deal. You know, we lose it with 5-4. No problem. I'm good with that. We got here. No way. Not when you have the kind of level of performance that they have had over the course of their time. And again, I was thinking about this morning. I feel better about them going into this game than I did in either of the previous two playoff games. So now it's okay if they lose? Like, I don't get that. I just look at that and say, no, wait a minute. They clearly had the ability to turn it on. So now they get an extra week off before the biggest game in sports, and, like, they're going to go out and lose it, and we're all going to say no problem?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't feel that way.
Let's see how it goes.
I'm sorry. I don't feel that way. I mean,
so every Super Bowl trip that they've ever made, it's all equal?
Well, no. So, and I want to make that clear, too. Last year's a game you got to win.
Right.
You're going against a backup quarterback, you got to win that one. 2007, I'm sorry, you're better than that Giants team. You got to win that one.
I mean, those are the two most infuriating losses. This, if they were to lose it, I would put on with 2011. Yeah, like, my expectations were minimal. You were lucky to get there.
How'd you get there in the first place?
Right.
So is this team better or worse than 2011?
Better. Oh, they're better.
Better.
Okay, so again, like, I look at that and say it's not apples to apples. You know, the 2011 team, they got lucky because a guy missed a field goal and they get into the game. This team went to Kansas City and won. So if they have the mettle to do that, if they have the capacity to go to Kansas City and win, now they're going to get to the Super Bowl against the Rams, and they're favored. And we're going to say...
But they're not favored. But this is the same.
They're favored.
They weren't favored by Vegas. Vegas had the Rams favored, and the people bet the Patriots into the favorite position.
Okay, so. But we had Brandon Lang on yesterday. He said that Vegas backed themselves into a corner and that they screwed it up.
So now you rely on Brandon Lang, and
Look, he's an odds guy. I'm telling you that they forecasted a Super Bowl that had Kansas City in it, so they had NFC over the AFC favored by a point.
I got it.
They just plugged in the teams. But the reality is that everybody out there thinks the Patriots are going to win. And if the money has shifted, let's adhere to your
theory. I would have said the same thing last week, by the way. If you go in and lose to Kansas City, there's no shame in that. They're home for the AFC title game. Neck and neck with you all season long. I mean, if you're lost, it's really not a fail. I mean, that big of a fail.
Right, but that was a harder game than this one.
Okay, so let's – that's a topic there, folks. 617-779-0985. We got Mike Florio coming up. We're going to break early. I'm going to figure out what the hell Murray did with me last night. We'll take your phones. We'll talk to Florio. That's all coming up here, Felger and Mazz from the Super Bowl.
This is Felger and Mazz
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mazz.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
All right, we're waiting on Mike Florio. We'll take a few calls until he gets here. A couple open lines if you want to jump on. 617-779-0985.
Mass is already to rip the Patriots if they lose. How do you feel? House money? House money that they're even here? Jason on the cake. Go ahead, Jason.
So I very rarely agree with Maz and disagree with Mario, but today I am exactly in that position. I think that even though we played terrible during the regular season, the last so many games, we picked it up, turned it on, flipped the switch, and if we lose in the Super Bowl, it's a failure. I'm excited to be here, but they have to win this game or I'm going to be upset as hell.
Okay.
See, that's all my point is.
To me, the worst part is 5-4. It's not singularly losing the game. Because, again, the Rams might be a better team. They might be. 5-4, that's going to...
Oh, no, that'll sting.
That's going to leave a mark.
That's good ammo for those
because
that
it
hate
does,
this team.
Right, and... it does open up that question.
Just telling you, it's all part of the story with the Patriots. If we're going to judge the whole era, the whole dynasty, they're going to get to this game, after all the doubt, be playing their best football of the year, and then go the other way, and we're all okay with that?
Joining us now in the Big Y world-class market guest chair, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Michael, how you doing?
How are you guys?
Excellent. Good to see you. Long time no see. How you been?
Good.
Hi, Mike.
How's it going, Tony?
So, are the Patriots playing with house money at this point? It's kind of what we're talking about right now.
Yes. And I think that they're going to win big. I think it's going to be a blowout. I've been saying it all week, and I don't care, old takes exposed, whoever wants to call me out. Look, we got to make a pick. There have been so many close Super Bowls, and the Patriots have been involved in 8 of them. And when you look at their record in the Super Bowl, right, 5-3, that's not becoming of the Patriots. 5-3. Because they're all close. They could be 8-0, they could be 0-8. And I think Bill Belichick is going to come out. Now, it's easier said than done, but he's going to come out with a deliberate plan to deliver an early knockout punch because this Rams defense, they're a little cantankerous. They can be a little moody. They can
Mercurial,
get a little upset.
Right,
they can get tempestuous. Ndamukong Suh, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, and maybe a few others. But look at what they did to the L.A. Chargers. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Yeah, you went back and forth a little bit, but score, score, score. The Patriots have a history of not scoring many points early in the Super Bowl, and I just think Bill Belichick at this point, after 8 Super Bowls, has to be irritated by this formula that constantly plays out where it's low scoring early, close game, and to have just been here last year and lose last year, Tom Brady's going to be upset, the team's going to be upset, there's so much carryover, they're not going to let this happen again, and I've been, just for fun, I've been saying 39-20 because that was the score of Super Bowl 21. And Chris Sims is my partner on PFT Live, and his dad was the quarterback of the Giants when they beat the Broncos 39-20. And Belichick was the defensive coordinator.
Okay, so but this is the narrative that's starting to frustrate me this week, and it's not just you. I think it's a lot of people. Is that we look at it and we say they're playing with house money, but they're going to win big. Well, which one is it? Like either they're a long shot team to get here, and then now it's whatever happens is okay. Or are they so superior to the Rams that they're going to blow them out?
I think that once you get here, everything about how you got here disappears. And where you are is exactly where you were last year, coming off of that horrendous loss to the Eagles where Brady had 505 passing yards. Malcolm Butler was a spectator. It was a weird, odd day. And that's got to be seared into the psyche and the soul of Tom Brady. And I think he's going to do everything in his power to help the team win, even if that means playing defensive line when he's not on the field offensively, just whatever he has to do, and he's going to be pushing these guys and prodding these guys. And I think this is the culmination of a year-long process to get back and win it, to wipe the taste out of their mouth from what happened last year.
Is the Patriots being here good for the league or not?
Well, it would be better for the league if the Chiefs were here. So I guess I'm not saying it's bad for the league. But Chiefs-Rams was the game everyone wanted to see. There are so many people that are sick of the Patriots. But I look at it and I say, why can't we just appreciate greatness? Don't we want to witness history? Like when it's LeBron James, we want to witness history. When it's Michael Jordan, we want to witness history. When it's Tiger Woods, we want to witness history. When it's the Patriots, we just want them to go away. Well, make up your damn minds. You either want to witness history or you don't. And we are witnessing history. What we have seen over the last 17 years, and it'll be 17 years to the day, it's never happened in NFL history. And for it to play out at a time when the salary cap and free agency have matured to the point where your team is constantly churning, constantly changing, to have the coach and the quarterback together for 17 years, to have this run where you've got 4 out of 5 years with Super Bowl appearances late in Tom Brady's career, it's remarkable. We should just enjoy it. When they won 2 years ago, I said, Tom Brady has now entered that Michael Jordan phase where if you haven't seen him play, you have to go see him play. You must go see him play and just enjoy it until he's done. And I don't know why more people don't enjoy it. I think people are antsy to witness the next phase of history, which is the rise of Patrick Mahomes.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, join us here from Radio Row.
So I was just going to say, do you think there's been any, begrudgingly, among the Patriots fatigue, or the people that have Patriots fatigue, after that Chiefs game, do you think there was any backlash where people said, you know what, this guy is unbelievable, that this guy really is, I mean, I do have to carve out time to watch him before he goes?
And I think at some level, even the people who despise Tom Brady and despise the Patriots have to recognize what he accomplished in the fourth quarter and then in overtime, the 13-play, 75-yard drive, the 3 third-and-10s, the laser focus, delivering the football like he's 15 years younger. You have to acknowledge it. How can you not? If you are a football fan and you are even remotely capable of any type of objective assessment, seeing, how can you not embrace what Tom Brady has done? But this is the byproduct. I think it's I mentioned LeBron and Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. I think what happens in football is when you are an ardent football fan, you love your favorite team and you hate every other team, and you particularly hate the team that is winning while your team is just waiting for that team to not win all the time. So it makes it more conducive to animosity and jealousy and hatred, because every championship the Patriots win is one less championship available to the rest of the league.
Okay, Mike Florio again. What comes next? If you had a handicap, Brady said 0% he retires. Your thoughts on Belichick's future, Gronkowski's future?
Gronkowski, I believe, will not play again after this year. I am convinced that if the Patriots had won last year, he would have walked off into the sunset. He's got all of his football money still in the bank. He has the potential to earn plenty of money just being Gronk. Now, I don't know that he's destined to be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think he would need all of his football money on acting lessons just to get to the point where he'd even have a chance. But I think he'll make good money just being happy-go-lucky doofus, and I think part of it is an act, but he plays it well, and I think he's done. Brady, I believe, is going to keep playing. I want to be skeptical. I want to say he's saying 0% chance because he doesn't want to think about what's to come. And when they win the Super Bowl, if they win the Super Bowl, he holds the trophy up in the air. He gets yanked by the ear by Giselle off the stage. And we're done, Tommy. That's it. No more football for you. But look at how much he knows. Look at how he can come to the line of scrimmage. There's nothing you can show him he hasn't seen. And he still has the physical ability to take advantage of it. Why do you not do it? The risk you run is that Father Time is going to finally catch up to you and hit you over the head with that giant hourglass during a season. And I think he's willing to take that risk that it would happen at some point during a season, because he's addicted to the chase. Remember he said early on, when people ask him, what's your favorite Super Bowl ring, he says the next one. And he's always felt that way, and he's always going to have that insatiable desire to get another one, to get another one, to get another one. So I don't think he's going to quit. And Belichick, there's a rumor out there among league insiders that maybe 2-3 more years as a coach, and then he goes somewhere as an executive VP, gets a piece of ownership. Huh. I can't see him being fulfilled doing that, though, right? He'd want to micromanage, he'd want to coach. And it's all he's ever done. And if it's all you've ever done, Robert Kraft told me 2 years ago he wants Belichick to coach into his 80s and work like Rupert Murdoch and Warren Buffett and, you know, others who have been very productive beyond their 80th birthday.
If the Rams win this game, how do they win it?
Well, I think they win it with Jared Goff being like Nick Foles last year, right? Picking them apart, because I'm not convinced that Todd Gurley is healthy. And I think Bill Belichick will try to take him away. I think it's going to come from Jared Goff throwing passes to Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Josh Reynolds, Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett. They're going to force Jared Goff to beat them, because I don't think they have handled far better quarterbacks than Jared Goff. But I keep going back to Nick Foles last year. We just said the same thing. Oh, come on. It's a joke. Nick Foles, are you kidding me? I thought the Patriots would kill the Eagles, and I was wrong then. But I'm just not a firm believer in Jared Goff at this point. He kind of grew up in front of our eyes a little bit against the Saints, but he had some rough games this year. 4 of his 16 regular season games were not good, and I think that Bill Belichick will come up with ways to force Jared Goff toward playing. Yeah, and I think a lot of it is you got to get bodies around him. We had a reel of some of his good throws, and his best throws, as most quarterbacks' best throws, come when there is no trash in the pocket. He gets a clean shirt, clean release, clean everything. When you get bodies close to him, that's when he starts to lose some of his zip. Now, a lot of quarterbacks would fall into the same category, but I think it applies even more, particularly to Goff.
See, I mean, I don't know if this is the right way to put it. I just don't feel he's ready for this. I feel like he's just not developmentally. He's just not there yet. And I didn't feel that way about Foles, Mike. I look at Goff and I say, you know, if the game is in his hands, the Rams are going to lose it.
I've interviewed Goff twice here at Radio Row, once when he was coming into the league and last year, and he's a nice guy, right? But he doesn't have that edge. He doesn't have the swagger. He doesn't have that not-so-quiet confidence that I'm the guy, right? And you don't have to say I'm the guy. You act. There's just something that comes through, and it doesn't come through from him. And, you know, hey, maybe it does now, and maybe it will after he wins the Super Bowl, if he wins the Super Bowl. But, you know, him and Marcus Mariota, I put in that same category. They just seem too nice. Yeah, and I'm not saying you have to be a complete and total jerk, but there's just got to be something more than what I've perceived from Goff. And, you know, you're going to have a moment in the Super Bowl where you got to walk out of the huddle and you got to get those guys to respond to you. And Tom Brady knows how to get guys to respond, and I'm not sure Jared Goff can, and I'm not sure he's at the point where ever will, but this will be a great test for him.
I
think Sean McVay is a remarkable coach. He's got incredible recall, and as he coaches more and more and has more and more circumstances and situations, and he remembers every single little thing that he's ever done, it's like you're walking around with a computer, and you can always pick the best play for the best circumstance, and he's the best thing Goff has going for him. And people criticize Goff in part because they view him as a system quarterback, that there are 15 guys. And Chris Sims and I were doing this the other day. We were running through quarterbacks. You give McVay Matt Ryan for this game, you feel better about the Rams. You know, we went through a long list of quarterbacks.
Do you feel better with Matt Ryan?
I'd feel better with Matt Ryan. I'd feel better with Ben Roethlisberger. I'd feel better with Phillip Rivers. I'd feel better with Drew Brees. I'd feel better with Baker Mayfield. I'd feel better with at least half the league than I do with Jared Goff. Huh. But it's because of McVay. You put McVay with those guys. And the breaking point for us was Kirk Cousins. That he's right about the same spot where Goff would be, where, yeah, maybe McVay helps, but not enough to make the difference.
Okay, Mike. What else are you looking forward to? Anything stand out today from Goodell?
Well, one thing that really, it's the, I don't know how you guys are with Barstool, but they definitely have a Barstool protocol with the credentials now, where because Dave Portnoy and my internet son, PFT Commenter, got into opening night the other night with fake credentials. That two or three times going into the press conference, they look at this, they look at you, they look at this, and they physically touch it. Right, to make sure it's the real thing, not just some card stock that they got down at the drugstore.
Did something happen today? Did they get in today?
No, they didn't get in today. But they wanted to do everything they could to prevent it. But even now,
when they checked mine now, like that coming in.
They're physically touching them to make sure they're
totally.
It's changed
all because
Monday
of
night.
Freaking Portnoy.
I think next year there's gonna be holograms on this.
Because of freaking Portnoy. Seriously, that's making a difference right there.
Oh, no question. It's altering the landscape right there.
All right, but outside of Barstool. Anything from Goodell today? You know, the one answer that I found interesting is about the New Orleans non-call. And he brought up that, you know, many times the issue there is that you would have had to throw a flag from the replay booth. It wasn't a flag. You're not challenging a call on the field. You're creating a call on the field. And he said, our voting body has never voted for that. It may sound like it's never really been close. And to me, that is the issue with that play. Do you want the replay official calling penalties? Not challenging. Calling from the booth.
I'm just concerned that nothing's going to be done to improve officiating, and the talking point that he jammed in at least once, it's a game played by humans, coached by humans, officiated by humans, and there's a certain amount of error that we have to accept. And that may be fine for now, but when 48 states have legalized gambling, when hardworking Americans are plunking down millions and millions every year on the outcome of a wager based on the Patriots giving 5.5, whatever this may be, it's not going to be enough at that point to just say, oh, well, it happens. At some point, someone from Congress is going to haul Goodell in there.
Congress.
Just like they did with concussions in 2009. That's one of the reasons Congress is there. When there is a private industry
to adjudicate pass interference.
Think about the stock market.
You think the legalized gambling is a tipping
point? The legalized gambling is what
fair.
Does it.
Fair point.
I mean,
fair
the
point.
Stock market is legalized gambling.
Fair point.
And that is, the SEC regulates these companies completely.
Yep.
And so once people are gambling their money on the outcomes of these games, if the NFL isn't improving officiating, the message will be, you have a problem, and either you clean it up, or we're going to clean it up for you, and you're not going to like the way we clean it up. I think that's the thing that they have to be worried about.
I mean, it's an interesting way to look at it.
Right.
The legalized gambling, which you think would be good for the league, actually opens up a can of worms for them.
It's now a public trust. I mean, it's
correct.
You know, and it's regulated by the government, and so there's the opening. I never really thought of it that way.
All they got to do is spend some of this money they're going to make off of gambling, right? Full-time officials. I'm a firm proponent of an eighth official in the booth who sees what happens like we see it at home. Bridge the gap between what the officials see on the field and what we all see on our flat-screen TVs and say, hey, throw a flag, pick up a flag, move the ball, do whatever.
Right.
And have it be like an Ed Hockley, a Gene Steratore, somebody who isn't a referee anymore, but who would speak with authority to the person with the white hat. I think that's the easiest solution, but it's either cheapness, it's either arrogance, or just this general sense, we don't want anyone on the outside telling us what to do with our business.
I'm chuckling because that's all we need is Ed Hockley in the booth with a mic on.
Well, yeah, there's only so much time.
Mike, thanks so much for coming by. Patriots in a blowout.
I think it's 39-20.
Okay, right. Suck on that, Patriots fans. There you go.
Thank you.
Here comes an update. We're right back. Give us a call.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We will look again at instant replay. There have been a variety of proposals over the last, frankly, 15, 20 years of should replay be expanded. It does not cover judgment calls. This was a judgment call. The other complication is that it was a no call. And our coaches and clubs have been very resistant, and there has not been support to date about having a replay official or somebody in New York throw a flag when there's no flag. They have not voted for that in the past. It doesn't mean that we won't. It's something that we're going to put to the competition committee, see if there's an answer to that. But the reality is that's been at least an opposition philosophically for many clubs.
And I don't blame them. That's a slippery slope.
No, it's a good point. I mean, because now you're asking someone in the booth
to throw the flag,
to intervene, right? I mean, that's what you're talking about. Someone's got to intervene in the game on the field who's watching it from above. And that does. That gets into a dangerous area. Look, I've always been okay with the human error in sports. Like, to me, that's part of it. And, in fact, I think more often, oftentimes, it can really test a team's mental toughness. You have to overcome bad calls sometimes, or at least that's what we were always taught when we were growing up. Sometimes you got to overcome the bad call. That's part of life. Too bad. So they don't all get fixed. And the idea that – now, I like the idea of having an actual official in the booth. I think that changes it a little. I don't know. There's a button you press that puts a flag on the screen so everyone knows it's coming. And there's a way to alert the people on the field that, you know, an official on the field knows and he throws a flag as a result. I have no idea. I'm just – so, I'm intrigued by the idea of an egregious call being fixed, because that thing in the Saints game was egregious.
Yeah, it's bad. So, you know, that's the hurdle, though. That's the hurdle. I mean, I mean, you could do it. It's got to be just a common sense approach. And that is, the guy upstairs is not intervening every play. He's not calling offensive holding every other play, which he could on replay. He's... the big plays and the big moments that are clear to everyone, and, you know, there's no way to write it. I keep saying this. How do you write that rule? There's no way to really write it other than to say at the replay official's discretion, and you hope that you hire people who are not going to over-officious up there. That you said Ed Hockley, or Mike said Ed Hockley. Oh, my God. Please.
No, it's that old line about pornography. You know it when you see it.
Yes, and so, but it's got to be, but it can't be over-officious. It can't be, because then, I mean, what are we doing? We'd be here all day.
Look, maybe you put a time restriction on it. You know, that official can't intervene other than the final 5 minutes of each half, or 2 minutes, or whatever. Put it where you want. I mean, you know, I don't want a guy intervening 6 minutes into the game.
Okay, more of your thoughts. Here's Brian in North Attleboro. Hi, Brian. You're up next with Felger Maz from Atlanta.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Love the show. Just wanted to challenge Maz just before his take, before Mike Florio's nauseating take. He suggested that the Chiefs are the superior team to the Rams, and I challenge that. Which, you know, the Rams beat the Chargers earlier in the year at home and then beat the Chiefs in the Coliseum as well, showing resilience and coming back in several games. So what's his logic
Brian,
there?
I just don't think you can do it that way. This team beat that team. And that, you know, so the Tennessee beat the Patriots. Does that mean they should win the Super Bowl?
Who's better, the Rams or the Chiefs?
See, but that's in a vacuum.
Okay.
Saying who's better? The toughest game the Patriots played was the Chiefs in Kansas City. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
If both games were at a neutral site, I'd tell you it's close. But the fact that it was in Kansas City made that a more difficult game than this one.
You think the Rams are better, Brian?
I do. I picked them to win 34-31.
Okay, we'll alert the media on the pick.
From a defensive standpoint, they're clearly better than Kansas City.
They're more balanced. Kansas City's a sieve defensively, a sieve. And LA's defensive numbers are bad, but they got some players. And they should have a coach that should have half a clue.
Yeah, Kansas City's got players on defense too, though.
It was interesting. I meant to look it up, but I was sleeping and vomiting all morning. The Bedard told us last night that Wade Phillips heard that comment that Bill, you know, that Bill was going on about, you know, it's a real testament to Wade. He's run the same thing for 30 years, and it's really, you know, he'll put different emphasis different weeks with the opponent, but really it's the same calls, it's the same defense. I've had to change mine. He hasn't had to change his. It's really, and Bill framed it as a compliment. But so Wade Phillips apparently said the other night, well, what do I know? I'm just a dummy that runs the same defense for 30 years. So he heard it, and it registered with him, which I think is a good sign for the Rams.
Of course, yes, because he's sitting there going, okay, yeah, fine. You think I'm just going to start the same thing out there again? So, I don't know. Look, how the Rams approach that, you know, the game defensively is going to be huge. I'll say it every day. That matchup of the Patriots' offensive line against the Rams' defensive line is at the center of this game. And if the Rams can't stop the run, they're cooked. They're cooked. If the Patriots are able to run and throw, forget it. The Rams are toast.
Ruth in Maine, are the Patriots playing with house money? Ruth, are you going to be upset if they lose?
Yes, I will. That you do never give your children, and these guys are our heroes, but we'll consider them our children, permit to not do their best. There is no way that I'd forgive these Patriots if they lost this game. They're too good for that.
Okay, Ruth, if they lose, I want you to call us on Monday and rip them, okay?
I certainly will, and these guys have heard me rip Belichick before.
Okay. I want you to call up and rip him a new one.
She's a firecracker.
Love Ruth. Love Ruth. No, I dismiss this whole idea. They're playing with house money. They got nothing to lose. So, okay, fine. So they can lose the game. Nobody cares. Fine. What are you watching for?
But it differs year to year. Again,
it differs week to week. This is my point. It's like we went into the postseason. We didn't know what they were. Now we think we have a pretty good grasp on what they are all of a sudden. So on the one hand, we'll sit there and say they turn on the switch and, you know, everything, you know, they've got it now. But they don't have to win the game. Like, what? I don't get that. It doesn't make sense to me. If they have figured it out, they should win the game now.
I don't know. What if the Rams are better? Sam in the car. What do you got, Sam?
Hey, guys. I agree and disagree with Tony. I agree once you get here, you got to win that game. 6-3, a lot better than 5-4. But Tony, to compare the Pats to Buffalo and Minnesota, really? Come on, there's no comparison there, Tony.
Sam, again, you're taking it out of context. When I say I'm comparing, I said they're in a group with teams that have lost consecutive Super Bowls. So that's all. It doesn't mean that they've had the same sort of wretched history that those organizations have had. The Vikings have never won a Super Bowl. The Bills have never won a Super Bowl. You know, the Broncos bounced back and did, but they lost consecutive ones also.
Your point is 5-4 is going to – that's going to leave a mark.
Yes, and we think of the Patriots as the great dynasty in sports. They did lose two Super Bowls in a row at the end, though. Like, it just – that doesn't sit well with me. I don't, you know, I think there's more at stake here for the Patriots than people want to admit.
They're deserving of more than that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when Florio said it, even, you know, 5-3, it doesn't feel like they should have a better record than that in the Super Bowl.
Yes, all of it. I just think that there's a little more at stake than New Englanders want to admit. So, we, you know, again, they have surprised us here this postseason. But now that they have surprised us, we're just going to say no big deal, 5-4, they can lose two Super Bowls in a row? Since when?
I think that they...
Since when is that the standard in Foxborough?
I think this is also one of the things that's helping them, you know, have this mentality of, like, we left it on the table last year. You know, some of the stuff that Kyle Van Noy was saying last week with Beadle and Zoe. Like, I think they realize, like, that kind of... That screwed up the narrative a little bit here, especially if they end up losing this one, too. It's just closer to 500. Like, all these times you've made it here and you're 5-4 in this franchise's history. Like, that's what makes last year against the Eagles such a killer. It really was.
Yeah, if it's stuck in their craw that badly, then they're going to come back and lose again? Like, I look at that and say, that would really, if I were, you know, that would piss me off to no end if I'm a Patriots
fan. The part you keep leaving out is that the other team might be better. That's just the part you keep leaving out.
Patriots are favored in this game.
They're not the clear-cut better team. They might be the better team.
The Patriots are favored in this team, and 80% of the money is going on the Patriots.
Because people are stupid.
Okay, but I'm telling you that the general consensus ends up being, you know, indicative of how people perceive the teams. And if America perceives this game as 80% New England, You can't go in and lose this game.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next, and a Patriots player puts us on blast. We'll get to that right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Felger and Maz back here from Atlanta. Your New England GMC dealers, excuse me, your New England Buick dealers. Your New England Buick dealers bring you the first hour of today's program. You hear our boy Van Noy?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, sure.
He's got a little Felger and Maz across his gullet.
Yeah.
He can't seem to quit us. So this is, I guess, Beetle and Zoe caught up with him at the media night.
I'm going to start calling him Van Nuy.
Okay. Well, let's hear what Van Nuy had to say here the other day to Beetle and Zoe.
You were talking about last year and the Super Bowl. And so yeah, I think you used the word humbled, got humbled in the Super Bowl, and how, you know, that really makes you appreciate getting back to it this year.
But sure. It was a good, honest answer.
I'd be lying to say it didn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not the...
Look at it.
We expect you to win.
There's a lot of There's a lot of us that were here last year, to sit here and say we aren't thinking about it. Like, it's on our minds, but we want to prove the people right. We're here for a reason. We want to prove the people right. We have a lot of fans supporting us. You guys have been a big part of that, supporting us, and we want to prove to you guys and to people like Felger and Maz, we could do it. You know what I mean?
I love how you pronounce that.
Run on that. You got that?
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Please
don't be running that tomorrow. But
shout out Felger and Maz, you know?
We're here at media night.
Yeah. I mean, where are they at?
I don't know. I don't know where they are.
Dinner?
Probably at a steakhouse. Probably at a steakhouse.
Right. With napkins on them, right?
Oh, wow. He knows about the Nantucket stuff.
With the napkins.
Wow. If you got shorts on, you get chilled in Nantucket.
You are on top of things.
I've been on Nantucket when it gets cold.
You are on top of everything. Yeah. That is impressive.
And I do my homework, too.
That's really impressive.
Really good. Well, Felger's going to love that one.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So he even knows the napkin thing, this guy.
Oh, yeah, no, he's well-schooled.
Is that on top of it or just maybe a little obsessive? This is just funny, I think, coming from guys that play on a team that you consistently hear them typically say, well, we don't hear the noise. I mean, that you hear that from most professional athletes anyway.
No, I think Kyle Van Noy is a millennial product of the Twitter culture. He is on it, sees it, reads it. That's how he would know me, because of the napkins in Nantucket. And so that's his frame of reference, because he's a millennial Twitter file. That's just
where they at.
What it is. What, so
Felger and Maz.
Shout out Felger and Maz.
Felger and Maz. Okay.
That's the European edition.
It's getting to the point where we do have to talk to this guy at some point. I mean, if he's got such a thing. We
want to prove to you guys and to people like Felger and Maz, we could do it.
That's a nice spin on the message that I like. Is, you know, all the haters, no one thinks we can do it. It's such a lie. It's such a contrived, lame. I mean, I went off on this yesterday. It's just that thing I think so lame. It's dumb because most people think you're going to do it. 80% of the money's betting on you. As Maz points out, most people, no one disrespects you. No one doubts your ability to win. Even if someone like me is picking the other team, in the back of our heads, we know easily in this game, and, you know, we'll probably be wrong. Like, so that's just a fact. Most everyone respects your ability as a team. Most, and whether they like you or not, they think you're going to win. They think you're great. They respect you. So to come up with this whole storyline that no one believes in us, like, just shut up. It's dumb. I mean, it is. It's freaking dumb.
Where are they at?
So, for Kyle to say we want to prove people right, now that I like. I think that's sort of a positive spin on it, because they do. They have a tremendous amount of support. So we want to prove those people right. I like that. That's better than, you know, picking out the one guy on the panel picking against the team. Like, that's what this has become. It's like this Patriots fan experience is picking out the one guy on the panel who's picking against him and lose your mind over that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's gotten stupid. But Kyle Van Noy, we got to sit down with this guy.
I think we should invite him on the show, especially if they win.
Definitely.
That way he can gloat.
So I have one thing.
If they lose, he won't come in.
For Kyle Van Noy's sake, I just hope one thing. They don't throw to Gurley. For his sake. For my sake, you know how I'm feeling. You know, I hope they watch out for 30, Kyle. Hopefully they're not throwing to him. Yo, let's see you cover that fella.
Where are they at?
That's still, you know, if you can get Kyle Van Noy in space, make him cover, like most linebackers, but, you know, particularly these linebackers, it's trouble. He's gotten really good at rushing the passer and really good at getting into the backfield and timing those plays out, and he's become, you know, a weapon.
He was best player defensively for them in the AFC Championship.
He really was, yeah.
But got to make him cover.
I mean, to me, the Rams game plan, if they're going to succeed, you know, and again, I go back to what Mike Florio said a couple of segments ago when he was here, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, when he says, well, you know, I think they're going to have to win it with Goff, throw to Woods, and I'm thinking, I don't think that the Rams are going to win this on the outside. I don't necessarily believe that. I think if they win it, they're going to win it in the middle of the field with their receivers running in there, with their backs and tight ends running in there, because that's where the Patriots are vulnerable. Like, on the outside, I just don't think that they're going to win it out there.
Let's grab a few phones here before the top of the hour. Eddie is in Lynn. Hi, Eddie.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was watching TV the other day, and it turns out the senator from Louisiana actually brought up the replay on the Senate floor.
Louisiana.
He says, oh, I know
why,
the government shutdown is a big thing, but this is just as important.
So, I mean, that's just asinine, right? But Floyd raises a point about the gambling. You know, if it's
no,
now,
it's a good point.
If the states are regulating gambling and regulating sports betting, then do they have a right to take a look at how the sports are being run?
Well, it didn't occur to me until you mentioned that, but that's the opening for, you know, outside the government, if that's what you want to call it, to get involved.
Yep.
It's like, you know, we're going to legalize gambling. You guys are going to make a mint off it between your relationships with DraftKings or whoever else, and that's fine. But you're going to do that and then not allow us to give some sort of jurisdiction over stuff that's going on the field?
Well, no, if we're
going to
let the public bet on it, we've got to know that it's on the up and up. So, you know, but, you know, the senator from Louisiana, you know, it's like,
Reliving Arlen Specter.
Good
here,
Lord. Well, no, but like the Saints guy, you know, like, so now every team that loses, that congressman is going to stand up in front of Congress. We got to take a look at this. Like, give me a break with that crap. Anthony in New Hampshire. Hi, Anthony. What do you got on Jared Goff?
First time caller, long time listener. Love the show. I'm sorry if you guys talked about this earlier this week. I'm not sure, but at media night, when he came out and they called the Rams to come out and he walked down onto that stage, he looked nervous. To me, it looks like
about Jared Goff.
What's that?
You're talking Jared Goff.
Yeah, Jared Goff. His face, he looked nervous. He looked like he was, oh bleep, I'm at the Super Bowl, I don't know what to do. And then even that little conversation they had with the captains on stage, and he was whispering into Brady's ear, he looked like a little kid, like, hey, Uncle Tommy, look at this, look at that, look at this. He just looked nervous to
Anthony,
me.
He was seven. The first time Brady made the Super Bowl. The guy was seven. He is a little boy. Jared Goff next to Tom Brady. He is.
I don't know any other way to say it other than tell you he's not ready for this.
But you agree with the caller.
Yes, I do. I don't think Jared Goff's ready for this game, this moment. When I say ready for it, I don't mean that he's not putting in the film work or I'm just telling you that developmentally, he's, what, 3 years in the league? And the last two have been pretty good. But he's not as far along as someone like Mahomes. I look at Mahomes and I say, no, that kid's advanced.
Even Nick Foles last year, how many years that he had been in the league?
A bunch.
And, you know, and he played extremely well leading up to that game. So that wasn't ultimately that big of a surprise. With Goff, like you just said, it's been a couple of years where you're getting good play out of him. He looked like a bust year one. I didn't notice nervousness on him on media night, but I certainly did in the first half of the NFC Championship game. You know, that's where I look at something like that, where he's running around like panicky. He's not hearing daddy in his ears telling him to get the play in a time, like that kind of stuff. That's what shows me, like, yeah, the moment might be too big.
I mean,
because this is a second to be a Patriots home game, it feels like.
He looked shaken in that game, right? He looked shaken in that game. And now all of a sudden you're going to throw him in the middle of a Super Bowl against a Bill Belichick defense. Like, now there's every chance that McVay's able to coach them up and they win the game. I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying that if you were asking me objectively, I look at Jared Goff, he is not ready for this. He's not.
I love the old, little interesting sidelight to me is that, you know, helmet communication shuts off at 15 seconds. And the whole cat mouse game that's going to go on, like, if Goff's really, this shaky, it's I'm snapping the ball at 15, so McVay's in his ear right to the snap. Right to the snap. You can call out, McVay sees a blitz, McVay sees something, snap it at 15. If this kid's really as shaky as you guys are letting on.
I wish I would just love, there's obviously no way that we could ever get a recording of that, but I just want to know, like, how panicky he might get when it's, you know, the last thing he hears is, whatever you do, don't throw to... Sean? Ball snap goes over his head.
But then, you know, then the whole cat and mouse. The Pats, you know, do you clear? You wait to 15 to declare your defense till after, and if the Rams counteract that, you hurry up, like all that. I think that's going to be really interesting cat and mouse. Let's pick it up with your calls. Hour two coming up after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here, so stick around.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.